Have we had any more complaints about the bad language in this programme?
We've had a letter from the same person that made a complaint apologising to you.
Hang on, where is the letter? Is it this one? Stuart Collins.
Yeah.
Hello, James, and your pleasant-sounding producer. Obviously, no idea what the f*** he's listening to. I would like to apologise to you for criticising your swearing last week, and I hope you will accept my apology. But I have a new complaint. You didn't tell me there's another f***ing complaint. What's going on? Well, I mean, is it worth doing this f***ing podcast or not?
Well, we only get a few complaints.
But I have a new complaint to make to you about you. I think you will be glad to hear. As. Hear dot as. What does that mean?
He's just put a dot in for some random reason.
All right, okay. Here, as a socialist and a very pro-feminist, I strongly object to the word mankind being used, excuse me, as a narrative, and I find that word extremely sexist and offensive. Would you agree with me that this word mankind should be banned and replaced with the word personkind, which is more inclusive and not sexist, Stuart from Sussex? He's taking the piss, isn't he?
He's got a valid point.
Gosh, dear, oh dear. Okay, well, why don't we just call people people?
We do.
Yeah, well, why do we need mankind? I mean, if you want to call it personkind doesn't work for me, why don't we call it humanity? Mankind could become humanity.
Has there ever been a woman on the moon?
No.
So only mankind have been on the moon.
Let's not talk about that in the podcast today when we do it, right?
What, the moon?
Well, it's on everything. I mean, I can vaguely remember the moon landing. I was about, I don't know, how many years ago is it? 50?
Mm-hmm.
I could just remember it. I was about 5, I suppose, when it happened. And I, you know, so we landed on the moon.
Yeah.
And so I've seen loads of science fiction things which are far more exciting than the reality of landing on the moon.
That's true, yeah.
It wasted enormous amounts of money and achieved... Well, I know there was a lot of technology achieved from what apparently the scientists learned from getting a man on the moon, but they didn't actually have to go and put a man on the moon.
No, they could have just sent a Lego brick or something.
Well, I don't know what they could have done. I mean, that's when they did this thing, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Exactly, because only men have been on the moon, so that's why you need the word mankind.
Who wrote that? Because he didn't just come up with that. That had been written for him to say.
Oh, the whole thing has been scripted and rehearsed, yeah.
They're talking about now, and so dull. The stupid fucking BBC didn't save many of the tapes of that because they didn't think it was necessary, apparently, or they couldn't afford it or something like that. You would have thought that was, you know, whatever you think about it, was a piece of history.
Mm.
You would have kept it, wouldn't you? The whole of the televisual thing that they did at the time.
Can't they just go to the studio they filmed it in and get a copy of the tapes?
There is a woodpecker going up the telegraph pole in front of me, looking out of the window. It's lovely to see.
They're sending people back to the moon now.
Are they? They're probably going to send women. One small step for woman, one giant leap for womankind.
No, no, because it'd have to be personkind, because men have already been there.
Oh, okay. One small step for women, one giant leap for humanity.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah, there we are, see?
Apparently, they've got to work out how to get to the moon, because they don't know how to do it. But I find that very strange when they've already been.
Yeah, well, that's ridiculous. It's just up there. You can see it quite often. You just go in a straight line towards it and then slow up and land on it.
Find the country that's pointing in that direction and then straight up.
Yeah. Yeah, wait until your country, wherever you are, at night, where the moon is, clear night, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Ah, I've seen a problem already. Our planet is slowly rotating, so you'd actually have to send it up in advance and hope that it slowly rotated towards... No, you wouldn't.
No, of course not. You can steer the bloody thing, can't you?
No, no. Once you've seen it and you go straight up, you're going to go continually in that direction. Unless the moon is moving around the Earth. I don't know how it works. Research, I think.
I'm sure it's easy. If we've done it before, there must be directions and somebody could put it into a sat-nav. There is no problem.
Yeah, well, apparently we've done it before, but... in fact, no. I better make it, because I don't want to get into trouble again. We've definitely done it before, but we've just forgotten how we did it.
What do you not want to get into trouble about? What are you talking about?
Well, last year sometime I mentioned that we might not have gone to the moon and...
Yeah, well, that's just you being stupid. You know full well we went to the moon. All that bollocks about the conspiracy theories, honestly.
Exactly.
Yeah. I tell you what, actually, I was talking to a friend of mine who actually discovered, or... Anyway, we won't go into how he got them. He is the guy who has the alien autopsy tapes. He found them. He got them. He owns them. He has sold them around the world, or allowed licensed people to see them. You know, the autopsy of the alien being.
The one with Jonathan Frakes in it.
Who's he?
The guy from Star Trek.
No, this is a serious documentary. This is not a joke.
Yeah, I know. Jonathan Frakes was the guy that did the documentary.
Yeah. My friend has the footage he bought off somebody in the desert many years ago. I won't go into it. He was looking for stuff to do a documentary on Elvis Presley. And they were travelling around certain parts of America advertising, if you've got any old footage, you know, any film footage you may have taken of Elvis Presley, we will be interested in buying it. We'll be in this hotel. Come along. And somebody came along with this tape of the alien autopsy. And my mate bought it. And there have been recent, you know, there have been films made about it. There was a sort of comedy made about it with Anton Deckin, if you remember.
I do. But I'm... What... Why did someone think that Elvis Presley was an alien?
No, you're missing it, you pillock. This guy came along. He had some. He had some footage of Elvis.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. And then he sold them. And then he said, "By the way, I've got something else you might be interested in. I'll go and see if I can find it." Went home, rooted around his old shack, brought it back to them in the hotel, and it was this tape of an autopsy being carried out on an alien. So they bought it. And then, you know, proceeded to show it around, to do whatever they did. Anyway, recently, to cut this very long story short, recently the CIA have released documentation, which was in the news a couple of weeks ago, to authenticate it and say that they were absolutely sure that this alien autopsy, or they knew, it was genuine.
Right.
That was... An email coming in.
From the CIA.
How do they know what we're talking about?
Cease and desist.
What? Hang on, I better just open it up and have a quick look. It's a bit worrying, isn't it? Okay. So anyway, there we are. So that just goes to show, we can't talk about it when we do the podcast, but that just goes to show that there are stranger things out there. Why are we wasting money? I mean, it is just dull. We went to the moon, big deal. It's not achieved that much.
I think it's because we need to build a space station on the moon so that we can refuel on the moon and then jump from the moon to other planets.
Yeah, but why bother? We've got loads of mess on this planet to sort out first. Let's sort this planet out before we go and try and f*** up any others.
Climate change, you see.
What about climate change?
Well, when this planet's messed up, we've got somewhere else to go.
Well, you don't have to worry about driving diesels or anything else. The climate change problems will come with sunspot activity, all right? And also with the fact that we are slightly off kilter on the axle of this planet. And that wobbles a little bit and it moves a little every year, I'm led to believe, which changes the climate.
Why don't we get loads of diggers and start moving loads of soil and gravel and sand to one side of the planet, and then it'll wobble loads then, won't it? And then it'll just spin off into the galaxy and move further away from the sun.
Why don't you just shut up? I mean, I'm trying to have a sensible conversation here and you're just talking bollocks. Right, here we go. Welcome to the James Whale Radio Podcast, an hour or thereabouts of complete and utter tosh. But you're very welcome to stay tuned and listen to it. Of course, we are so far nowhere nearer Brexit. We are, in fact, probably getting further away. It looks now that the reality is we're going to leave without a deal. Lots of people say, oh, it doesn't really matter. Very good. The reality, of course, is that it probably does matter, and we probably will leave without a deal, and it'll probably f*** the economy of this country up so bad that we will be saying, what the hell did we do that for? And everybody will be finding excuses as to why it wasn't their fault, and I didn't realise this, and I didn't realise that. Well, you won't be able to say that, because lots of people have warned that unless we do some kind of deal and continue on our trade as it is at the moment with our nearest neighbours, things will be a complete and utter f***ing mess. And nobody seems bothered. You know, this is the interesting thing is, we're about to get a new Prime Minister, probably Boris, who knows. And by the way, don't forget, go on Talk Radio and you can see the bits of the I don't know what you call it. It's a bit like Gogglebox. And me and Marc Francois, the MP, looking at the debate that was hosted by The Sun and Talk Radio a week ago. And there's a film out there on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else at Talk Radio where you can see me and Marc having a serious, sensible discussion about the debate, and unfortunately, Ash interrupting every 5 minutes.
Can Talk Radio not afford glasses?
Why?
Well, why were you using plastic cups?
Well, that was Ash's fault. We were in this nice country house, you probably noticed.
Yes.
That was owned by, well, it's owned by a very famous person. I can't really mention the name. We went there because the same person owns everything else. And Ash was supposed to be making nibbles and doing drinks and stuff, but he just messed around. He just farted about, and in the end, all he could find was some paper cups and some digestive biscuits. When I was expecting olives, some mozzarella, sun-dried tomatoes, maybe a little chorizo, little things like that, just to nibble as we were drinking. And drinking milk chocolate digestive biscuits and Pinot Grigio didn't really go down very well.
No, at one point he was choking, I'm sure. He was coughing away.
Who?
Marc Francois.
Yeah. I mean, he did drink a lot of that wine.
Mind you, it could have been worse. He could have found hobnobs. Have you ever tried having a hobnob without a drink? Oh, dear.
No.
Oh,
no.
It's dangerous stuff.
I don't only like the thick chocolate biscuits, not the sort of dried ones. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the hobnobs are very dry and bitty, and they sort of make you cough.
Yeah, no, I don't. Can we not do... anyway, so that is there. But the whole... And Marc Francois, of course, is the vice chairman of the ERG, and they're all hoping just to get out of the European Union, they think. He's a nice bloke. I can be friendly with guys. Looks a bit like my brother, funnily enough. I can be friendly with people even if I disagree with them. That's where the world is going wrong. People can't continue to have disagreements with people but still get on with them, even though they have a different point of view about things.
I didn't think we could leave with no deal now.
You didn't think we could?
Well, didn't they block it yesterday?
Yeah, but they block it, and then that doesn't actually mean anything.
I'm waiting for Boris to knock on the Queen's door and tell them to all bugger off.
What, the royal family?
No, the people out of Parliament. Surely the Queen can close Parliament down.
Well, the term prorogue Parliament is meaning they close it down, make the decision, and then bring Parliament back. I think, wasn't that last done by Cromwell?
Yeah, but I'm thinking...
And that didn't end well, did it?
Yeah, but I'm thinking the Queen should just turn up as a last act, big act that she does before she steps down and says, right, you lot out for a few months.
No, she wouldn't. I mean, look, she's 90-odd.
Yeah, who's going to argue with an old lady?
No, but she doesn't want the aggravation. And anyway, I don't know. It's just a mess. This whole thing is a mess. Where's David Cameron to apologise? We haven't seen hide nor hair of him, have we?
No, he's disappeared. He's probably out jogging somewhere.
Why do they all bloody jog? Do you know? I mean, Boris Johnson jogs. Jeremy Hunt jogs. Is there a reason why politicians jog? There must be. But I don't, because none of them look very good in shorts. I mean, Michael Gove makes you want to choke every time you see him in shorts. Yeah. I mean, if you look like Michael Gove, why would you embarrass yourself by going out jogging around the streets looking like an absolute whatever?
That's why they invented treadmills.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and the same can be said for cyclists. There is no necessity to use those bloody things on the street when you can go to these spinning classes.
Yeah, yeah. And you could turn the lights on in the room so you don't need those flashing lights that you don't like.
Yeah, exactly.
Always daytime.
I haven't seen a lot of cyclists lately because I've been on the train, but so I'm quite happy about that. Yeah. The only place you see cyclists, really, are in big cities or around the country lanes getting in everybody's way at weekends. And that's a bit of an annoyance, I must admit.
I don't like it when they close your whole village down so they can have a little bit of a race.
Yeah, well, who told them they could do this? And I think somebody should start actually saying, no, you can't.
So, well, yeah, I mean, if they're going to do that, why don't we just have our own rally races then?
Well, I wouldn't talk about that now. There was this tragedy in Stevenage, wasn't there? Where they had one of these cruise meetings and some stupid idiots went off the road and ploughed into the onlookers, injuring something like 17 people. These people who have these cars that are all souped up and race them around the roads, and they're always kids. They always sit down. Their heads only just come above the top of the door, if you notice, because they put the seats down on the floor. And wish they could do something f***ing useful with their lives instead of tinkering with their cars and annoying everybody. And motorcyclists, you know, what is the point of motorcyclists? I don't know. I was down on the coast the other weekend, and we were sitting having a meal, nice little restaurant, sitting there just relaxing, few glasses of water, obviously. And then the motorcyclists turn up, and they go up and down, and just the most annoying people. If you want to ride, I really don't understand why you would want to ride a motorbike. They dress up, and they pretend they're racing. Go and race on a f***ing track somewhere, not on the main roads. Cut in and out of cars, adjust their exhaust pipes so they sound butch and loud. I imagine most motorcyclists men have got very small penises, if at all. And that's why they have to drive up and down making all this f***ing noise. Cyclists probably have no... Because, you know, you damage your male bits as a cyclist. But then I suppose, you know, people who do all that kind of work have never been very good at anything else, have they? You know, these very athletic people, they're never very good, apparently, at doing the other stuff.
When you say the other stuff, you mean the other stuff?
I mean the other stuff, yeah.
Okay.
Why?
I was just thinking, surely on a motorbike you would have an erect penis all the time with all that vibration going on between your legs.
No, it would be uncomfortable, so you probably don't. And they probably don't have much of anything between their legs and very little between their ears either. Otherwise, why would you want to ride up and down like that, showing off or trying to pretend to be, I don't know, some kind of macho bloke all in this leather and everything else? Go and ride round a track somewhere. You look ridiculous, you sound ridiculous, and you fucking annoy me.
Maybe it's just been over-vibrated and therefore lost all sensation.
Maybe it's just being a pillock, right? You want to go and get these souped-up motorbikes, go and find a track to race in. I mean, they look ridiculous. There was one coming down the motorway, and he must have been doing 100, 120 miles an hour. And he's sort of crouched down over the handlebars, and the wheels wobbling a bit at the back. Just looks ridiculous. I'm sure he's getting a really good... sort of more coming in, getting a real good thrill riding down there. But, you know, if he hits something, he's going to he's probably kill himself, and I'm not bothered. But he could quite easily kill somebody else. Then somebody's got to go and pick the bits of his body up. And I say his because I don't think women would behave in this way. I mean, there are a number of women motorcyclists, I know a couple, and they ride very safely and sensibly. They don't sort of crouch down over the handlebars and try and go as fast as they can and then swerve in and out of the motor cars and things like that. They're a nuisance, and I never see them pulled up by the police.
Can't catch them.
That's no excuse. We've got motorcycle cops all over the place. Get them out catching them.
It's only the minority, though, isn't it, when you think about it?
Minority of what?
Motorcyclists.
Who do you know who has a motorcycle that commutes? They're toys. They're toys for guys who've got some kind of mental problem about their male prowess.
Not sure I fully agree, but yeah, okay.
Why? Have you got a motorbike?
No, I've never had. I've tried riding a scooter once, one of those mopedy things, and I drove it into a wall.
So why are you trying to keep in with the motorcycle crowd?
Because maybe it's because of where I live.
Oh, yeah, remember where you live. They come along, don't they, weekends, and there's loads of them. Somebody should stand up to these guys who think they are so fucking clever, don't they? Wander around, strut around in their sort of leathers and pretend to be hard, think they're Hell's Angels and go all over the place, just to annoy everyone. What sort of kick do you get out of annoying everybody, I wonder?
I was going to say that they're very normally law-abiding, pleasant people.
I'm not interested in the normal law-abiding, pleasant people. I'm interested in the ones who ride too fast, who risk their lives and other people's, and who are intent on making sure wherever they go, quite often to places on the coast on a nice sunny afternoon, driving up and down, riding up and down, making as much fucking noise as they can.
I agree, but they're the minority, though.
Who says they're the minority?
But they can't be every motorcyclist.
Why would you have a motorbike? You can't get much of a view of anything from inside one of those helmets.
No, but you can get places quicker because you don't have to queuing traffic.
Oh, so what you do is, as I saw the other day going into London, you'll ride on the wrong side of the road, and then when somebody like me doesn't swerve out of your way and you have to cut back into the traffic, you get very annoyed and very upset. Because why am I going to go into the curb and scuffle my wheels because you are so fucking arrogant that you decide you can do whatever you like on the road? No, I think it's about time motorcycles were made to behave in a way that actually fitted in with the rest of society. Anyway, I don't want to talk about motorcyclists anymore.
Good, because I'm sort of sticking up for them. Not in that way, though.
Yes, of course you are. I rest my case. I rest my case. Sajid Javid, who, of course, is currently the... Home Secretary, isn't he? Yeah, I think. Has been going on about people's extreme language if you're in the public eye. Because some of the extreme language that's been used increases the use of racism. I think what he's doing is having a go at Donald Trump, quite rightly, because Donald Trump has now... Much as I used to find him entertaining and amusing, and being a supporter of Trump really wound lots of people up, so I was more than happy to do that. But his outburst recently, not only about those ladies of colour in America, telling them to go back where they came from, basically, but his complete and utter disrespect of our ambassador. Now, ambassadors send private messages to their governments all the time. I wonder what the American ambassador has been saying about British government over the last couple of years. I imagine if they were ever found and released, we would be quite shocked at some of the language the American ambassador probably used to describe what was going on here. Now, it's gone very quiet, but whoever leaked that documentation has to be brought to book. And I'm not sure that putting it, you know, everybody's going, oh, well, you know, the press have the right to this. I'm not sure how releasing what the ambassador said and getting him the sack, I'm not sure how that is in the public interest. So if anybody could tell me how that is in the public interest, drop me a line, jameswellradio@gmail.com. Because I don't see how getting him the sack and exposing this has got anything to do with the public interest. Do you?
Stuff like that that's leaked. There should be something in law that stops you from doing that.
Well, there is. Well, I don't see that having our ambassador, who has served this country well and has been very highly thought of, and then suddenly making him out to be a pillock by releasing his private thoughts about the White House. I don't see how that is in the public interest. Can somebody explain to me why that is in the public interest?
It's the same as the phone hacking scandal. Just on paper, isn't it?
A private conversation between the ambassador and the government, and that is supposed to be hidden, all right? Obviously, it's not secure enough. But the person who leaked it is somebody who is trusted, and it could be detrimental to the safety of our nation, what they did. So I don't understand how leaking that, telling everybody, you know, the phone hacking scandal is another thing, I think. Mind you, I don't think you should say things on the phone or near recording machines that you never want people to hear. But if you are a government minister, if you believe you are talking in a, you know, on a line that is completely safe, it's obviously proved it isn't, then that's something completely different, in my view. But I want to know how leaking this was, or reporting this was in the public interest. And the person who leaked it, I think, has done this country an enormous amount of damage. And I want to know who it was, and I want to know how they are going to be dealt with.
Right. If I was in power, this is what I would do. Once this story gets leaked and is in the paper, it's a requirement in law, if a judge, etc., approves it, that the information of who gave that gets released. And if it's anonymous, as in the newspaper didn't find out who released it and then still released it, then the newspaper's culpable.
Well, the paper should actually, in the interest of public safety, they should release who did it now. And now that they'll say, well, nobody will ever tell us what's going on again. You see, I'm not sure that showing us private emails between the ambassador and the government is in the public interest. I think that is a step too far.
Well, it's definitely not in the public interest. It's ruining the relationship.
But that's what the newspaper is saying. They're saying it's in the public interest to release this.
But we all think Trump's a bit of an idiot.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course.
But you don't... You know,
even more so now.
But imagine if someone said the Queen has sent a letter and here's a copy of the letter from the Queen, where the Queen says Trump's an idiot.
Mm.
That's not going to do us any favours, is it?
No, but it'd be very funny to see the expression on Trump's f***ing stupid face, wouldn't it?
Well, I think we should all just say we like him, so we all stay on...
No, I think we shouldn't. I think we should say people like him actually are not to be admired now. Much as I thought it was good to see somebody who was not from the political classes elected, he's now taken it a step too far.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he doesn't understand that he can't be seen to be doing the sort of things he's doing on Twitter. He's not, he is, you know, when you are in that position, you can't behave as if you're just a drunken lout in a bar.
I don't think he really knows that he's
what he's doing. You're absolutely right. And for that reason, he ought not to have his finger on the nuclear button.
Well, he hasn't really, though, has he?
I think he has. Apparently, he doesn't have to ask anybody.
He can't. He's going to have to ask somebody for the football, isn't it? They call it the suitcase, and no one's going to give it.
He's got that with him all the time.
Yeah, but no one's going to hand it over to them, are they?
Well, I hope not. I hope not. But I think he's doing America a huge disservice. He's appealing to the redneck racist twats. No, that's a terrible expression, motherfuckers, who just have no place in dignified, humane society. You know, the white supremacists who think for some reason the colour of their skin puts them above everybody else.
You can just see it now. Give me the codes, give me the briefcase, and it's like, I've left it in the car. Just give me a sec, I'll go and get it.
Good. Got another email here.
Oh, dear.
Shay Marmon says, good morning, James and Robbo. Hope you're both excellent. James... are all cyclists deaf? I'm wondering because when they ride past my house in West Malling, which I believe is in Kent, they talk so fucking loudly, they must be fucking deaf. I mean, they are literally a foot away from each other, yet they think everybody in the whole country needs to hear what they're saying. Arrogant. I can't even use that word. Shut the up, you bunch of... Oh, God. And turn off your stupid... annoying flashing lights and pretentious what? Cuts.
I took the N out of the word there.
Oh, right, okay. Love the pod, love the bleeping that poor Robbo has to do. All the best, boy, Shay. Thank you, Shay. Yeah, you can't use the word motherfuckers and cunt. It really is too much. But do you know, it's funny enough, they ride past my house on a Sunday morning early. And if you leave the window open, you know, they go out early. I don't know for what reason, just to annoy everybody. And they just shout at you. Right. They ride in these sort of, you know, big bunches of cyclists in their tight. And they're always ugly blokes as well. Have you noticed that? And they just yell at each other as they're cycling along. They should have clubs and they just go round in a big circle because they can't. There isn't anything they're looking at. I mean, they're not enjoying being in the country. They're just sort of making a noise.
No, they're just looking at the ground, not head down and looking
at the car. Yeah, I mean, what is the point of riding a bike when all you look at is the ground you're riding over? That is a very good point. I think it's probably time that you should do this. What do you normally do? Tech talk, because I've been rambling on for ages.
I just fill in the time.
Yeah. I've just seen this trailer of the they're doing a new Top Gun movie.
What do you think?
Well, the trailer looks good. Trouble is, when the trailers look good, the movies are never quite that good, are they?
Taking them a while to do the sequel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 20 years? Or 30 years?
If not more, yeah. It's quite a long time.
Funny, isn't it? He doesn't look much different.
No, he keeps getting younger.
How do you do that? Is that Scientology?
It must be.
Have they got some fountain of youth there and they dip themselves in it every now and then?
Yeah, you dip your tips in and...
Yeah.
Off you go.
Your tits.
Your tips, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
Your big toe.
Well, it looked quite good. I saw that film you've been nagging me to see the other day, Green Book.
Oh, Green Book, that's a really good film.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Exceptionally good. Mm. Exceptionally good. And I saw a film the other night, came home after my talk radio show, 7 till 10, Monday to Friday. I came home the other night and just flicking through the channels, there was a Jason Statham. I'm a big Jason Statham fan. I think he's a very underrated actor. Everybody thinks he just does lots of sort of, you know, martial arts and that's it. But it's called, what was it called? Hummingbird.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen it?
I think I might have done.
It's about a soldier who comes back and he has post-traumatic stress disorder and how it is very difficult to separate, you know, the past from reality.
Yes, I have seen it a while ago now.
Yeah. Well, it was on the TV, so probably was quite old. But, I mean, it actually, I thought, showed his acting skills fantastic. He was very good in it.
Everyone likes a bit of Statham.
Why was he never... I mean, he suddenly arose from nowhere, didn't he?
Yeah, he was in a film a few years ago called The Meg, about a big shark, like a remake of Jaws. That was quite good.
Don't remember that. The first time I saw him was on the Transporter movies.
I think I've got The Meg on Blu-ray. I'll send it to you.
Oh, OK. I mean, he'd make a very good James Bond, wouldn't he?
Yeah, but problem is we already know him as that kind of character, so I think it would ruin it.
Yeah, you might be right. Okay. So anyway, I saw some other movies this week as well. Can't remember what I saw.
Must have been good then.
Well, no, they were. I haven't seen this one about you bloke who invented Facebook yet.
Oh, yeah, you should see that. It's well worth watching that.
Is it?
Yeah.
Just seems a bit dull. But then I didn't watch Green Book for a long time because the idea sounded a bit dull.
You have to be in the right frame of mind. It's one of those films you have to watch rather than enjoy. Shall I do Tech Talk then?
Yeah, I think you should do Tech Talk now because otherwise I'm going to get you into more trouble. Could we do it without any Welsh language as well?
Yes, I can successfully 100% guarantee that the next segment will not have any Welsh in it.
Because you can't speak Welsh, can you?
I can.
No, you can't.
I can.
Go on, prove it.
What would you like
introduce
me to say?
Introduce Tech Talk in Welsh. Go on.
But there's no translation for Tech Talk in Welsh.
When I introduce, just say what you... Tell me the first thing you're going to talk about in Welsh.
Yeah. Siarad Tech. There you go. Tech Talk in Welsh.
No, I mean the whole thing. Just tell me what it's all about. Explain it in Welsh.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, because you can't speak Welsh.
Not to that level, no.
Well, then what are you going on about?
Tech talk.
Yeah, but you live in a Welsh-speaking area of Wales. You can't speak it. How do you manage?
It's all translated.
I bet when people come into your business, everything is in Welsh as well.
No, it's not.
Well, you'll be in trouble.
No, because everything in my shop is all technical and there's no Welsh translation. I'll give you an example. What's X-ray in Welsh?
I've no idea.
Ray X.
Ray X?
Yeah.
So they just turn it round to be different?
Well, they turn it round because the Welsh does turn it round, yeah.
Why?
Well, they give the important thing first.
What?
It's like if I said to you, there's a red car coming towards me, yeah?
Yeah.
It's more
there's
important.
There's a car, red.
Yeah, it's more important to tell you about the car than the colour.
No, it's not. There are loads of cars. There's a red car coming. Not there's a car red coming.
No, I would just shout, car coming, wouldn't I? Really?
Yeah, I would. So this is a whole pointless thing. Achavi.
Right. The police and other authorities should suspend the use of automatic face recognition technologies, according to a new influential group of MPs, which is a good idea, because...
Why?
Because facial recognition gets it wrong.
Oh, well, that's a good reason to stop it. But, you know, if there's anything that stops these wankers who want to do us damage from getting into the country or getting into certain areas, we should do it. And if there's a way of finding out where all these villains and thugs are, then we should do it. But if facial recognition isn't very good, if that means that you look like a gangster or a terrorist, and if you go through one of these things, they might actually put you up, yeah, we should get rid of it.
People, in general...
People who need people are the luckiest. Oh, I can't think. Go on.
What about looky-likeys and doppelgangers?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So,
if you look like somebody and you get, you know, flagged up as a terrorist or whatever, you could be in big trouble, couldn't you?
Bad news for some Uber passengers in the US. They've had their bills multiplied by a factor of 100. So when they've been getting out of their taxi, they've been automatically charged stupendous amounts of money by mistake, by glitch.
Well, I don't understand anybody wanting to use Uber. Every time I've had, and now if I'm doing something and they say, we'll just get you an Uber, I said, no, you get me a proper car or you give me the money for whatever. I don't do Uber because every time I've got into an Uber, first of all, they don't know where they're going, most of these drivers, and they stop without even looking. They're useless drivers. The ones, I'm sure there might be some good Uber drivers, but I've never encountered one. And then if they can't find you within 5 seconds or whatever it seems, they just disappear. And you get a message on your phone saying, driver couldn't find you, he's gone. Be another 5 minutes before somebody comes. In that time, jump in a black cab or whatever, wherever you happen to be, and off you go. Uber, it's a waste of time. Why do people use it?
If they can't do the knowledge, they should at least do the IQ.
Well, they don't, I mean, a lot of them, and they grunt, and they're just not very... I mean, obviously, it's not a very good job. They don't make enough money. They moan a lot. What is the point? I don't want to sit in close proximity. I don't want to go in one of those flipping cars they drive as well.
Oh, the eco-friendly things.
Yeah.
Prius.
Yeah, though I'm just, you know, they're uncomfortable. I don't want to get in one. So, no, I don't do Uber. I'm sorry, but it's all very, very trendy, isn't it? Oh, I'll get an Uber. Well, you can go in an Uber. I'm not.
I don't think we have Ubers where I am.
Good. And keep them out. But as far as I know, any driver of any car can just sign up to be... Oh, no, you've got to... I don't know what you've got to be, really.
A driver.
Well, that would help. Anyway, right, moving on.
There's a company called Neuralink.
Who?
Neuralink.
Yeah.
It's a company set up by the man, Mr. Musk, you know.
I don't want to know anything about him. The one who was nasty about those guys who saved the kids in Thailand.
Yes.
Oh, forget him. Completely. Well, he doesn't exist as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, well, let's just start this bit again. There's a company called Neuralink that may be owned by somebody we don't like. And it was set up to explore ways of connecting the human brain to a computer interface.
Right.
And they have now applied to the regulators to start testing on humans. In other words, they have managed to find a way of connecting your brain to a computer to extract thoughts and input thoughts into the brain. So it's not going to be long before we can duplicate human souls.
Well, I think we don't want to do that, really. But yeah, that's the interesting bit, isn't it? This bit inside your head that we consider is us, and the religious, and I haven't had a go at religion yet, consider it's the soul, and that lives on after. I mean, I'm not sure it does. I'm not sure it does. It's all contained within that sort of grey, squashy bit in your head, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a large memory stick in your head.
Yeah. And when you go, and that goes, it's defunct, isn't it?
Yeah, so you would, with a bit of, well, that sort of stem cell technology, grow another brain and then input the thoughts from one brain that's getting tired into that one, and then shut the other one off, and you wouldn't know any different.
So where would that leave religion in the future?
Proven wrong, I would say.
Yeah, I would too. All those people with, you know, and to be a religious leader, you don't really, you know, read a few books and con people into thinking you got in contact with this being. And I was talking to one the other day, I won't say who, quite a famous, fairly high up member of the church. And he was saying, I've been asking for guidance from God for some time now, and I believe that God has spoken to me and this is the way we should go. Really what he means is he's been thinking about this problem for a while and then suddenly he's thought of a solution like we all do, but he's decided it was God that was telling him rather than the fact that you think about things.
Carries more weight, though, when you say God gave me the solution.
I'd rather take the...
Credit.
Yes, that's the word I was... It's always the small words that escape me, taking the credit for it myself, yeah.
It's a bigger thing to say that God's, you know, got a direct line to you, isn't it?
No, because then you're the gullible and the ones who... You see, I've spoken at length. So what is it that, you know, how do you know God spoke? And then people will say, oh, yeah, well, so-and-so who died spoke to me the other day. Well, I think about Melinda quite a lot. And I think about things, and then I think about, you know... And I could say, oh, yeah, well, Melinda was speaking to me, but that was really my brain asking a question mentally. I wonder what she would do. And then I decide on myself what I think or what I think we should do. And I suppose if you were gullible, you'd say, oh, well, that was so-and-so speaking to me.
In a way, if you said that you had voices in your head talking to you, you'd obviously be put in a padded cell. Right.
Yeah, but I haven't had voices in my head, but we have thoughts, don't we?
Of course. So if you said so-and-so spoke to me the other day, blah, 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 they'd put you in a padded cell. But if you say God did it, they wouldn't put you in a padded cell. So I think it's just a get-out-of-jail card.
No, but I think some of these people actually believe it. I remember interviewing many years ago Doris Stokes, who was a medium, and she was a little old lady. And, you know, I don't think she was conning anybody. I mean, I don't believe for one moment she was speaking to people who inhabit, who die and go somewhere else. Don't believe in that at all. But I think she thought deeply about somebody, and then these thoughts come into her head and she sort of said them. I think she believed, and I think a lot of these people believe, that there is some outside source talking to them and giving them these thoughts. But we all have these thoughts.
When you think about what somebody said to you in your brain later on, you sort of hear it in their voice, don't you? Your brain has that sort of weird thing where you actually hear the voice in your head of the person that you're thinking
about. Here's the weird thing. And it's been over a year since Melinda died. I have never, ever had a dream about her. Here's somebody I lived with for 50 years nearly, since I was 17. And I have never, ever had a dream about her.
Well, that's quite normal, though, isn't it?
I mean, You know, when somebody that you've lived with for most of your life suddenly is not there anymore, you would think, wouldn't you, that you'd have some sort of dream or something?
I don't know, you know. It's strange the way the brain works, because I've never had a dream about any of my kids, ever.
No, nor have I. Anyway, moving on. Have we finished Tech Talk now?
Have you heard of that Russian company? Well, it's probably a person, really, but it is a company, who made an app called Face App, which transfers your photograph so it can make you look younger or older. It's doing the rounds at the moment. It's the new big thing.
Right, okay. Can you use that on my publicity photographs?
Well, the thing is, The worry is that it's a Russian company in the first place. So everyone's got this theory that all your photographs, millions and millions of photographs, are going to be sent to Russian servers with all of your names, etc. It's a bit like the facial recognition thing. So just be careful.
What's the app called?
Face app.
I'm not having any more apps on my phone.
You shouldn't have any apps on your phone, really.
Shouldn't you?
Nah, just use the calculator and the camera and Facebook.
Okay, what have I got? Find Friends.
That's pointless, that app, isn't it, really?
Is it? How can I get rid of it?
Just hold your finger down, wait for it to wobble and press the X.
Tips? What are tips? These are all on the phone when I got it. Tips. I don't want that either.
Yeah, those are put on by Apple. Some of them you can't remove.
Yeah.
But okay. the ones you've downloaded from the App Store you can remove, but I don't think you've downloaded any of you.
No, not really. I've got the weather thing, and I've got something for my car.
Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Those are sort of the normal ones, aren't they?
I've got Waz.
It's not Waz, is it? That'd be like...
It's quite a good app, that.
Where are all the public toilets? Check on Waz.
No. What is that? Oh, I see. Right, okay. Okay, right.
I've got hundreds of apps on my phone.
Have you? Hand-picked hotels keep sending me, and I don't know why, but anyway. Okay, good. Right, okay, let's finish this off, because we've been talking about nothing for ages. Have you done your tech talk? What are we doing now?
Questions for the whale.
Go on, then.
Martin Fogel.
Fogel. Not Fogel, Fogel. Come on, let's do it.
Why is it you have to pick up your dog poo, but not horse muck?
Well, because dog poo is like human poo, pretty disgusting. If you're a vegetarian, probably not, but horses are vegetarians, and it is pretty good for the roses. But in some areas, you do have to pick up your horse muck.
Cars pollute the atmosphere with the emissions from the exhaust. Well, a horse is a roadworthy animal, and therefore it is allowed a bit of pollution, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I don't see much horse shit around anywhere, and I live in the country. If I see any outside the house, I go and dig it up and put it on my garden.
Well, you'd scrape it, really, when you would dig it up, would you?
Well, I mean, scrape it, Don't be semantic.
Pedantic.
Whatever the fucking word is, get on with it. I'm going to the pub.
Andrew Walker. Are there too many people on the planet?
Yes.
That's why we're going to the moon. Donna Marie Stoker. Instead of scrapping TV licences, free bus passes for over 75s, how about we scrap the House of Lords?
I think we need a second chamber to keep an eye on the first chamber, and I think we should appoint people rather than vote them in, because let's face it, democracy. Oh dear. Look at what we've got in the House of Commons. Moving on.
Steve Lewis, egg or chicken?
Whatever you fancy. Next one.
I think which comes first. Maybe. Which one would you say?
Get on with it. I've answered the question. Come on.
Jan Hazel. What would be the best month of this year to impeach dictator Donald?
Oh, God. Stupid question. I'm sorry. It doesn't really bother me. I just ignore the silly sod.
But Christmas Day, a bit like Den and Angie on EastEnders. That'd be quite good.
It's America. Forget them.
You're not doing our relationship any good, really, are you?
Well, he's an arsehole, and and I couldn't really care less.
We've just lost loads of American listeners.
I didn't say the Americans were arseholes. I said their leader and the way they do politics. They would be so much better if we still ruled them. When you think about it, I mean, we should not have discovered America. It wasn't lost, and people actually were quite happy living there until we f***ed the whole thing up. Any more questions?
Yeah. Rob James.
Yeah.
Are the Temptations back in the charts this week, or is it just my imagination?
Yeah, just your imagination. Next.
Rob Mann. Is it right elephants should be tied up for tourist rides?
No, it's not right at all. And actually, I wanted to have a go at the cunts who sit on them and shoot them and then sit on them and take pictures of themselves when they've shot one of these magnificent animals, giraffes, tigers, rhinoceroses, elephants. What fucking assholes these people are.
I would get these trophy hunters and befriend them a little bit and then take them spear fishing in a pool full of piranha and tell them to just wander in and watch from the banks and see what happens.
They need putting down. People who find it entertaining to go and shoot an animal and then sit on it and have photographs of themselves taken are not really of any use to society whatsoever.
Darren Milne.
Yep, come on, let's make this the last one. I've got to go.
Okay, I love Nicola Sturgeon.
Yep.
Scotland the Brave.
Fine, okay. I think there is something you can get for that. I'm not sure what it is. You would need to go and consult your GP first. Okay. Not for me to give out medical advice on this programme, but if that is the case, I think you must have it quite bad, and I would go there as quickly as you can.
I didn't get to read the question, so I'll do the next person then. Okay. Michael Comerford. Why do men of certain age insist on wearing shorts around town? Looking like overgrown toddler is not a good look. Have a word with that Ian Lee while you're at it, James. Pass him on some style tips.
I think he's past having any style tips, to be quite honest. He's got appalling legs. And he accused me of body shaming the other day. Well, I mean, body shaming is just giving people hints that you look shit in what you're wearing. And you're right. Why do some sort of men of a certain age wear tight T-shirts over huge extended fat bellies and shorts? I don't understand it. I mean, and to be fair, some women who are far too fat squeeze themselves into some of the stuff. Just appalling. If you're you know, overweight, try to disguise it if you're not prepared to lose it.
It's a bit harsh.
You ask me a question, I'm giving you a fucking answer.
All right, okay, don't have a go at me. I'm just reading the questions.
I'm going now, bye.
Listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/James Whale Radio Show or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.